get myself organised. This could take a long time. Oh, that's coming forward. That's better. That's better. You look prettier. Things have moved on. Of course, we're very much in the Christmas season, but the scene now moves to Jesus, now 6 weeks old, and the bit of explanation for what's actually going on here, just for the background, but we're looking at the people, the players involved in this. Mary, 6 weeks now, postpartum, things returning more to normal for her with a young baby. And they were faithful Jewish people. And in those days, the ceremonies were that no woman was allowed into the temple courts for 6 weeks. Basically, for those ladies who've had babies and know about these things, things have settled down and she would be able to come. She would be pronounced clean again. And to bring the baby, the first boy, and present him to God. I'll explain. The other faithful people here, characters who stand so prominent in this particular story, are Simeon, who's evidently well known as a holy man, a good man, and Anna, who spent most of her time in and around the temple just worshipping and praising God, and also had the reputation of being a prophet, of declaring God's word to people. And we have Joseph and Mary, a young couple with a new baby, and doing what the law required for them as faithful Jewish people. You might wonder, why is every firstborn dedicated to God? And the reason goes right the way back to Passover, back to the escape of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. And if you remember, the last of the 10 plagues, the one that really clinched it, was when the angel of death moved through Egypt and every firstborn boy in every family in Egypt, including Pharaoh's own son, died. That was the major sign, and that was so devastating because the Egyptians, like most people, put all their hopes in their first son. But that didn't happen in Israel. That didn't happen in the land of Goshen, because the Passover lamb was sacrificed and they were told that they were to eat in haste to escape. And they put the blood of the lamb on the door lintel as a sign, so that the angel of death that passed through the land would spare those. And since all those firstborn boys were spared at that first Passover, God said, they now belong to me. You must dedicate every firstborn child to me. And so that's going all the way down now, all the centuries since the time of Moses. That was what Joseph and Mary were doing for Jesus. Now, this was, of course, in the temple. It was an everyday ceremony. For Joseph and Mary, it was, for them, a very important thing to do. But, of course, around the temple courts, there were lots of different ceremonies going on, and there was the daily cycle, regular cycle of ceremonies, of sacrifices, of prayers and worship, and so on. And so you need to bear this in mind, that when Joseph and Mary went, they would be with a whole lot of different people there for different religious reasons. Now, here's a point. Jerusalem was about 10 miles from Bethlehem. The probability is, despite the sweet carols and the Christmas cards, Joseph and Mary probably did not have a donkey. So they would have to walk. They would have to walk the 10 miles or so to Jerusalem for this ceremony, and then all the way back again. And I measured it out on the map. That would be a bit like us deciding to go to church from here, but to go along Boardsides all the way from Swineshead Bridge on foot. Take a little while, I think, to walk the 10 miles. 2 or 3 hours. Something like that. Carrying a baby. And then all the way back again. So there was effort involved. And I just want to give you that thought, that being faithful to what God required meant making the effort. It meant also a sacrifice, here, doves or pigeons, to redeem the life. And then we look at Simeon, evidently well known. Here was a man noted to be righteous and devout. He was somebody who was longing to see God's redemption of Israel. He believed in the prophecies. He believed and hoped and prayed for things to change, to get better. Here was a land under Roman occupation and largely martial law. They had a corrupt priesthood, a corrupt king, a tyrant, a despot in Herod. And here was this man longing for something better. So he had a time of devotion, a life of devotion and prayer. And it's interesting that in three verses, Luke mentions the presence of the Holy Spirit in this man. It says that it had been, the Holy Spirit was upon him. That was an interesting comment. He was noted to be somebody who walked close to God. He also says that it was revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would actually survive until he had seen God's Messiah. What a promise. So, Lord, you're keeping me alive until I've actually seen your Messiah. What a privilege. I'm hanging on to that, Lord. And then it also says that he was now moved by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple courts. So something on that day, he just knew that he had to be there. So he goes into the temple courts and there's a mass of people. Lots of things going on. There was, of course, the market stalls and all the other things that Jesus cleared later on when he was grown up. But so there was lots going on. But somehow Simeon knew that this baby to this couple was special. He knew. This one preacher once said, he knew in his knower, he knew in his knower that this child was the one. And so Simeon just takes hold of the baby Jesus, takes him up in his arms, and he just utters this amazing prayer and prophecy. Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I've seen him. So here's a second thought. That salvation was in a person, in a baby. And if you think about it, you think, that seems odd. How can he say, I've seen your salvation? Here's a baby. A young child, 6 weeks old, tiny. But I knew that in this person is your salvation. Hold that thought. He then goes on to prophesy. He says that you've prepared him in the sight of all nations. This is not just for the Jews. This is for everybody in the world. A light of revelation to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, for the glory of your people Israel. No wonder Joseph and Mary were a bit taken aback. They weren't expecting that. But this man, who was known and respected, had prophesied these things. And as Luke often says about Mary, that she held these things in her heart and thought deeply about them to see what was going to happen in the future. Those of us who are parents have all been there too, when we've held our babies, our children, and prayed for them and loved them and thought, I wonder how they're going to be when they grow up. I wonder. Don't we? We do. We love them. We care. We want to know. We wonder. And so Mary wondered, and particularly with a prophecy like this. And then Simeon goes on. He says he's destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. He was going to bring a new order in society. There were going to be new values. It was going to reposition all the old structures. What he was going to bring, which of course we know he did and does. He also said he's going to expose people's inner thoughts. And again, we know this is what Jesus does. He reveals what's going on inside us. Not what we say or what we think we think. He reveals the truth about what is in us. Not always comfortable, but necessary if we want to live by the truth. He also says that he will be controversial. He will be a sign that is spoken against. And that was certainly true in Jesus' life. He wasn't welcomed everywhere. There were bits of him that people liked. And there were bits of him that people, things that he said and did, which caused people the utmost offense, ultimately leading to him being fitted up and put to death on the cross. And Jesus is still controversial today, isn't he? Talk about religion, don't talk about Jesus. We don't want to know. Talk in vague terms. Be nice to everybody, but don't be revolutionary. Don't talk about the authority of the Word of God. That's too upsetting. People don't want to hear that sort of thing. That's what Jesus came to. Do not think I've come to bring peace on earth. He said, I've come to bring a sword. I've come to bring controversy. I've come to set people against one another, even in families. This is what Jesus does. If we're faithful to him, we will come up against opposition. And it's what's going on now in different forms. And he also said to Mary that you're going to suffer deep anguish. And we know, of course, that that is exactly what happened when she had to watch her son dying on the cross. We don't know so much about Anna. We know that she was very old. We know that she was 84. We know that she spent her time in worship and devotion. We know that she was a prophet. And then at that same time, this lady, who was evidently well known around those circles, started to speak about Jesus to, again, everybody who was looking for the redemption of God. So that's all the background. There's a few lessons here. I just want to try and run through, so bear with me. The first is, my eyes have seen your salvation. I mentioned salvation in a baby. So Jesus' name means Saviour, Yeshua. He embodies salvation. Jesus in himself embodies the kingdom of God. Think about that and unpack that a little bit. You see, people look to religion, they look for rules. God doesn't give us those rules. The rules failed, didn't they? The law of Moses failed. The law of Moses tells us what is right and good and what pleases God, and in doing so, it shows us how we fail. we fail to follow God's ways. So we don't need another set of rules. We need a saviour. So we ask for rules, but God gives us a person. He gives us the saviour. So our faith, and we need to be careful here because we can, the trappings of church and teaching are important, but they are not the source of our salvation. Our faith is in Jesus, our Saviour, our living Lord, not in a set of dogmas. It is the living Lord who saves us. Just changing the order of things a little bit here. You see, faith comes by revelation, not by reason. I can testify to that. I spent a lot of time trying to reason it all out, and after spending quite a lot of time thinking, I realized that actually thinking, reason, and teaching, they feed the mind, and that's good, but they don't bring faith. And the only way we really ever truly understand anything about God is when he reveals it to us. When that moment dawns, you think, got it. Now I see. Now I understand. But you can't get there by reason. Now that revelation may be instant at some point in time, or it may be a series of events and a journey into faith, as Paula was saying on Christmas Day, a gradual realization of just who Jesus is. But that's what we need to know for ourselves. Once we realize who Jesus is and how his life relates to us personally, then we commit to following him. That is living faith. Following on from that, God really does reveal things. See, the world doesn't understand that. But the whole of the scriptures are involved in God revealing truths. The Old Testament prophecies, God speaking into the future, where Jesus would be born. He would be born to a virgin. His genetics, he was going to be in the line of David. All of these things. And of course, later on, his life, his ministry of the servant of the Lord, and even his death, piercing hands and feet, pierced side, all of those things, they're in the Old Testament scriptures. So God does reveal things. There's a great verse in the prophecy of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. And it says this, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets." God reveals truth. And we may have our personal revelation of who Jesus is to change our lives. Third point, and that is that religion moves you. True faith moves you. For Joseph and Mary, that meant walking the 20 miles round trip all the way to Jerusalem back to do the right thing, of paying the cost for the sacrifice into the temple. It costs. So faith is not a passive, you know, acquiescence. It's not a passive, oh, I think I believe this today. Faith comes in the heart and soul, in your spirit, and it changes the way you live. If it doesn't, it's not faith. As James says, faith without actions is dead. James says, you say you believe, I'll show you by what I do, what I believe. So it will produce a change in our lives, not immediately, but over time, as we apply, as we follow Jesus, we will change. Getting through now. God honours devotion. Simeon and Anna were people of prayer. We all need to take time with God to nurture our relationship. We're meeting, when we do at Christmas time, with families. Why do we meet as families? Because we nurture one another. We strengthen those relationships. We share gifts. We share celebration. We share food together. Memories. Hugs. We've had more of our share of hugs in the last few days, which is nice. Relationship. So, don't we relate to our Heavenly Father? We need to relate to the Lord, and that means spending a bit of quality time with them. Thinking for those of us who are involved in leadership or preaching or prayer ministry, you cannot do that on empty. We need to spend our time being with the Lord, finding out what's going on in the people around us, what's going on in the body of the church. What is the Holy Spirit saying? We can't do that unless we spend some time with him, being open to his Spirit. But that's, everybody's not called to leadership, everybody's not called to particular ministry or prophecies, but we all live before the Lord, and in life's different seasons, we need to take that time. One of the nice things about the liturgical year is that it reminds us to think of Jesus' birth, of Lent time, of his death and resurrection, of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We can refresh ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And yes, our lives can be busy, but maybe a lot of our stress is self-imposed, because we can all make time to do the things we really want to do. So we can take time to be with the Lord. So God values faithfulness. He values obedience in the everyday things. We serve a living Lord who is our salvation. We are called to walk with him by the Holy Spirit. My eyes have seen your salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you do reveal things by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to listen to you. Help us to be open to what you have for us in these days and the days to come. Enable us, we pray, to know you, Lord, as our own Saviour and Lord, and walk with you. Amen.